Chapter 5. The abandoned space station was somewhat of a disappointment in terms of our not finding an Elder communications node there. Thinking longer term for the mission, it was a great success in my opinion. All of our pilots had opportunities to fly during a real mission, and all of the Spec Ops troops gained experience with powered armor spacesuits in a real operation. All of the troops, by the time we left the space station behind, had experienced free diving in space. Other than a few very minor incidents that were dealt with quickly and professionally, I felt everyone had passed the test to be a space diver, and I asked Skippy to fabricate a special badge to wear on their uniforms. The badge was based on the U.S. Army's Free Fall Parachutist badge, with the difference being we replaced the tail feathers at the top with an arc of 3 stars. Pilots received spaceflight wings, similar to the Army Aviator badge, with the center shield replaced by a 5-pointed star. Sure, the new badges were not official, and UNEF may frown at the idea if we ever got back home. In the meantime, the crew were thrilled to be wearing badges that no other humans had qualified for. My awarding of badges began the process of Lieutenant Williams warming up to me, slightly. After the award ceremony, we had a party in the galley, a party that spilled out into the corridor because our galley wasn't large enough. The strongest beverage available was iced tea. I took a tall, cold glass and made my way over to Williams, who was talking with his 4-man SEAL team. Pointing to the Navy Special Warfare insignia he wore, I said, "Lieutenant, we need to change the acronym for your team."
"How's that, sir?" he asked warily.
"SEAL is Sea, Air, Land, right? After today, it should be SEALS for Sea, Air, Land, and Space."
"I think you're right about that, sir," he said with an ear-to-ear grin.
Garcia asked,
"What would the plural of that be? Seals's?"
"Oh, man," Skippy interjected. "Do not ask Joe anything about grammar. He butchers the language horribly. Lieutenant Williams, sincere congratulations to you and your team." "For reals, Skippy?" I asked, figuring he was inevitably going to add a disparaging comment about monkeys.
"For reals this time, Joe. Considering that you are, after all, a barrel of primitive monkeys, this crew has accomplished a lot in a short time. I have to give you props for that."
I am not a morning person. I am not even a mid-morning person. As a soldier, I have to get up early, and I manage to do it. It still doesn't come naturally. And because of the crew schedule that some idiot put together, an idiot whose name rhymes with Schmo Bishop, my duty shift on the bridge started at 4 a.m. ship time. So I dragged my ass out of bed an hour early, time enough for a shower and a cup of coffee. Without coffee, I was mostly non-functional in the morning. What had caused me to wake up an hour early wasn't an alarm or Skippy. It was anxiety. We had gotten lucky checking out the abandoned space station. Lucky not in the sense that we found something useful. Lucky in that we had found the entire star system abandoned and that we hadn't gotten into a fight or had to plan some sort of risky combat. The potential for combat had gotten the special forces keyed up and kept them focused and gave them experience using powered armored spacesuits in zero gravity and hard vacuum. That was all good. What wasn't good was our next target was still way too dangerous. When we left the abandoned space station behind, we had set course for the second target because we didn't have an alternative. The advantage of the second target was that Skippy knew for sure there was a comm node there. The disadvantage of the second target is that the whole area was closely monitored by the Maxulks and by Sentinels. "Skippy, I got a question."
"Good morning, Joe. I'm going to ignore your poor grammar for the moment."
"Poor grammar?" I asked, surprised.
"You have a question, Joe. You don't got a question.
At least you didn't say you got's a question. Damn, you already butcher the English language enough with your terrible accent."
"Accent? What's wrong with the way I talk?"
"I talk the way every native New Englander north of Boston talked. Normal. Everybody else had a terrible accent."
"What's wrong?"
"Let's start with the way you pronounce car, like car. You leave your R's out of everything. Tell me, Joe, were your ancestors so poor they had to sell all the letter R's?"
"No, Skippy, we save all those R's so we can use them on words that should have an R at the end but don't. Like my Uncle Nam retired to Weya," which I pronounce Nam and Weya.
"Well, that's easy. He's in Florida."
"Wrong.
See, he lives in Florida, And the capital of Maine isn't Augusta, it's Augusta.
Wow. Incredible.
How did you and your buddy Cornpone ever manage to communicate? With your Maine accent and his southern drawl, it's like neither of you is speaking English.
We don't speak English, Skippy. We speak American. And we manage to communicate just fine, thank you.
If you say so, Joe. I have noticed you tone down your accent around most people. Like at home, you say, aya, but here you say yes, or yeah, or uh-uh. When you visited your parents before we left Earth, you were all like, aya, and wicked pissa, and your father shot a deer, and your mother was cooking pasta for spaghetti. Most of it was utterly incomprehensible to me.
Aya, you got to pay attention there, Skippy-o.
Oh, forget it. What is your question?
We started looking for this comm node dingus in places where some database said it should be, right?
Aya, Skippy said with a chuckle. Don't you usually look for something in a place you know where it is?
Duh, yeah. That's not my point.
You so rarely have a point, I felt safe to assume this time was no different. My sleep-addled brain being not ready for snappy comebacks, I ignored his trying to bait me into an argument.
My point is, we hit that asteroid base because you knew that place had a comm node. There are other places that have a comm node for sure. We decided those places are too risky, too tough for us to hit.
In your opinion, they are too difficult, he said sourly.
Ignoring him, I continued. Next, you looked at places that might have one of these Elder comm node thingies, because the place is known to have a bunch of other Elder crap, right?
If this conversation is going to be you telling me a bunch of obvious stuff I already know, I'll tune out for a while and let you talk. Wake me when you're done.
Can we go one step further?
Damn it. Now you have my attention, on the infinitesimally tiny chance you might say something monkeys consider intelligent. Go ahead, amuse me.
The first step was to look where we know there is a comm node because somebody found an Elder site, got a comm node, and logged it in a database. We already did that when we raided the asteroid base on our first mission. The second step is to look where there might be a comm node, right? A place where there is a bunch of other Elder stuff logged in a database, and they might have a comm node also.
So far, I am not blown away by your logic.
So step three, I continued to ignore him,
is for us to look in places that should have comm nodes, but they aren't in a database because nobody has found those Elder sites yet.
Huh? I'm not following you. How are we supposed to look in a site that hasn't been found yet?
By you figuring out where the Elders would have put stuff, comparing it to a map of Elder sites the Theranin and Jirapatha know about, and determine where there should be Elder sites that nobody knows about.
By how?
Guessing? He snorted.
No, I searched for the right word to use.
I don't know, extrapolating, inferring, deducing, predicting, whatever you want to call it.
You know the Elders better than anyone in the galaxy today. You can figure where they would likely have had colonies, space stations, that sort of thing, right?
Huh.
This time, his huh wasn't a question.
You have a map of Elder sites the Theranin know about and sites the Jirapatha know about, right?
Yes. The two mostly overlap. There isn't much one side knows about that the other side doesn't also know.
This war has been going on for a very long time. Much territory has swapped back and forth several times.
Can you do it?
Do you want me to predict places where we, in this one ship full of monkeys, will find Elder sites that have not yet been discovered by advanced species who desire nothing more than to find technology the Elders left behind? Species who have entire fleets of ships searching for Elder technology.
That's about it.
Yeah.
You told me the galaxy is vast, bigger than I can imagine, that even now most of it is unexplored.
It's unexplored, Joe, because most of the galaxy isn't worth exploring, or it's too far from a wormhole.
I notice you haven't answered my question. Can you do it?
I'm thinking.
Think faster.
Joe, this is actually not a 100% completely awful, terrible, stupid, brainless idea.
Very likely, very, very likely, this is a tremendous waste of my time. However, I am intrigued about how much this will test my analytical capabilities, so I'll do it. This is going to take a while. I'll need to run simulations.
A while as in you already did it between, say, a need and two?
Not this time, smart guy. Go, I don't know, get some coffee,
eat a banana, scratch yourself, do some monkey thing, and I'll let you know when I'm done. Don't bother me in the meantime. I'll be super extra busy in here. I took a quick shower, got dressed, walked to the galley, drank a cup of coffee, and chatted with a couple people. Then I walked to a porthole to look through the tiny window at nothing, because there is not much to see in deep interstellar space. Before going on duty, I got a second cup of coffee and headed for the bridge. The whole time I'd been expecting Skippy to shout in my earpiece that my idea was stupid and about how monkeys only wasted his extremely valuable time. 32 minutes had passed since Skippy began his analysis. This was an eternity in Skippy time. He remained silent until I was halfway to the bridge.
"Joe, I have good news." "And bad news," Skippy announced.
Uh-oh. Skippy's idea of good news could be bad, so I answered carefully.
"Give me the good news first, please."
I stopped and leaned against the bulkhead. If he was going to tell me how stupid I was, I'd rather not be on the bridge where the duty crew could hear it.
"The good news is I found some very good prospects for elder sites that have not, as far as I know, been discovered by other species. You are right. Although my memories are substantially blocked, my familiarity with the elders allows me to extrapolate where they should have had colonies or other installations. What I did was..." I let him talk without interrupting, even though his rambling on about statistics, metadata, and collating sensor mapping data from dozens of species went way over my head. He was proud of what he'd accomplished. It was likely only he could have run such an analysis in so short a time, if at all. When there was a split-second pause in his non-stop talking, I took the opportunity to stop him from rambling on.
"Amazing, Skippy. That is amazing. Maybe this is why you have such enormous processing capacity, so you can find the elders' legacy stuff and protect it or keep track of it."
"Huh. I hadn't considered that."
Before he could go off on a half-hour tangent of speculation about his origins, I asked, "Have you verified your data model by checking whether it predicts elder sites that are confirmed? Elder sites that other species do know about?"
"Verified my data model?"
Skippy asked slowly in amazement.
"Joe, where did you learn nerdy tech talk like that? I am mildly impressed, considering that it's you."
"It was in one of the 1,000-slide PowerPoint decks I'm supposed to study as officer training. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have told him I was only repeating buzzwords."
"Did you do it?"
"Yes, duh. I told you I ran the model back to determine accuracy within a standard deviation of less than..."
"You tried to tell me. Remember, Skippy, you're explaining things to me, you need to dumb it down a couple notches. You can use real science-y math talk when you're discussing stuff with the science team."
"Fair enough. Breaking it down Barney style, pun intended, the answer is yes. My method of predicting the location of elder facilities is 96.7% accurate when compared with a map of elder sites known to current species."
"Damn, that is impressive."
"Ah, not so much if you really understood the data," Skippy said sourly.
"The elder sites known to current species are the easy ones to find, obvious ones. The dum-dums inhabiting the galaxy today only find elder sites if they happen to trip over them in the dark, so to speak. Almost all of the elder sites that have been mapped are in star systems capable of supporting carbon-based life. The unmapped sites that I predict we should find are mostly in star systems centered around obscure stars, such as red dwarfs. I am not yet, of course, able to determine how good my model is at predicting the location of more obscure, minor elder sites. However, I am highly confident."
"Great. This time your good news is good news for sure. What's the bad news?"
"The bad news is where we have to go to check out these unknown potential sites. By definition, they are in out-of-the-way locations, else they would have been discovered by now. The model predicts only a handful of sites that are conveniently close to our location."
"Well, we will check out those..."
"Whoa! Whoa!" Skippy cautioned. "Not so fast, hotshot, let me finish. Of the handful of predicted sites, two are inaccessible now. The stars they are orbiting have become red giants and swallowed those planets. Another site was in a star system where the star went nova. Even if that site still exists, it is likely damaged and we'd have a hell of a time finding it now. It would have been thrown off its original orbit in an unpredictable fashion.
Three other sites remain undiscovered, but are in star systems occupied by species with equivalent or superior technology to this ship. It would be substantially risky to enter those star systems.
There's nothing we could check out around here?
Oh, I didn't say nothing. There are four sites within a month of here. Two of those sites are good prospects, the other two are low probability.
Within a month from here. I liked hearing that. How long to check out all four sites?
You had to ask me that. Skippy sounded disgusted.
Calculating now. A leased time course would take... 3.5 months.
The sites are scattered inconveniently. We have to make roundabout routes through wormholes to get to all four sites.
Meh? I said, surprised.
Huh?
You said, meh. Like when something isn't bad, it isn't great, it's just, you know, meh.
Oh, yeah. In this case, meh was me suppressing my instinct to be precise.
I told you that the estimated transit time is 3.5 months, instead of me saying 3 months, 17 days, 10 hours, 21 minutes, and 48.267 seconds, roughly.
Roughly?
In the future, let's go with meh.
I thought so.
Also, that is average transit time, not including time to match course with the sites, fly down in dropships, explore the sites, all that.
Kind of implied, Skippy.
Yeah, you'd think so. But I'm trying to explain hyperspatial navigation to monkeys, so...
Got it. Not all monkeys aboard this ship are as dumb as me.
None of them are, Joe.
Well, I'm only considering standard IQ tests in the crew's personnel files, of course.
Skippy paused.
Oh. Did I just insult you?
You think? Hey, blame the facts, not the messenger. Besides, I told you before that the standard IQ tests of your species are woefully inadequate predictors of ability to create innovative solutions to...
Christ, Skippy, you sound like the buzzwords on those stupid PowerPoint slides that I'm supposed to study.
Sorry? To dumb it down for you, he said, while supposedly intending not to insult me. Somehow your tiny monkey brain is able to think of things that my godlike intelligence misses. Like when you had the idea to get rid of the Krystang ships by jumping them into a gas giant, or when you asked me how Theranin fought in their flimsy spacesuits because it didn't occur to me to tell you about their combots. None of your original merry band of pirates, who mostly had higher IQs than you, had those ideas. Joe, you may not be particularly smart in a conventional sense, but you apparently have a talent that is more useful in your current role. You are clever.
Spacesuits.
Darn it! You had to remind me.
Yes, I hate to say it, but that is a good example.
I was damn proud of myself.
As a senior officer, I may be grossly inadequate for my responsibilities according to the United States Army. As an infantry soldier, I had, in my humble opinion, good common sense, including the ability to ask obvious questions that everyone else was missing. Believe me, patrolling the Nigerian jungle in full battle rattle on ill-defined missions had caused me to ask a whole lot of common-sense questions.
Thank you, Skippy.
You can program us a course for the closest site?
Already loaded into the nav system.
Of course it is.
Great. I'll tell the pilots.
And the entire crew.
No one had been looking forward to a lonely, dull 14-month voyage to explore the dangerous second site.
Sitting in the command chair on the bridge, I was waiting for the jump engines to recharge. We had changed course to check out the closest of the sites where Skippy thought we might find an Elder facility that wasn't known to the Theranin or Jirapatha. I didn't have much to do, and my mind wandered.
Skippy, something has been puzzling me.
He made an exaggerated sigh.
Darn it. I knew this was going to happen sooner or later.
All right, fine.
Joey, when a mommy and a daddy love each other very much...
I know about the birds and the bees, Skippy.
Damn it. I should have known better than to try asking Skippy a serious question while other people were around. In the CIC, I could see people smirking, and one of the pilot's shoulders was shaking as he laughed. At me.
Boy, that is a relief. The last thing I want to explain is monkey mating rituals.
You're puzzled. Is this about shoe tying again?
I think you'd be best to stick to Velcro until...
You know why I need shoes?
Because I can walk.
Let's see you do that, beer can.
Whoa, that's the best you've got.
Pretty lame there, Joey.
I'm trying to be serious here, Skippy.
Another sigh.
Fair enough.
You do understand how difficult it is for me to take anything you monkeys say seriously, right? What is your question? If it's not outrageously stupid, I will consider wasting my time on you. We lowly, unworthy monkeys would greatly appreciate it. My question is about stealth technology. I've heard you say this ship has a stealth field, and I've seen you detect other ships soon after we jump into an area. Don't those ships also have stealth? And how does a stealth field work? We have stealth jets on Earth. Wow. Man, there isn't enough aspirin in the galaxy to fix the headache I'm going to get while trying to explain this to you. Fine. Listen hard, Mr. Big Stupid Head. You might learn something. No, you do not have stealth jets on Earth. You have laughably crude pieces of metal that try to bounce radar waves in a different direction instead of back to the radar receiver. Or you have coatings painted on your jets that try to absorb radar waves. That type of coating doesn't work so well when it's wet or dirty, by the way. And good luck to your Navy, trying to maintain delicate stealth coatings on aircraft in a corrosive salt spray environment. No, you do not have stealth technology. Your species has glanced the basic mechanics of stealth technology. You haven't been able to make it work yet. Fine. What's the difference? A stealth field bends light waves around a ship. When a stealth field is working optimally, light flows right around an object as if it wasn't there. If a ship using stealth is between you and a star, all you will see is light from the star. The stealthed ship won't cast a shadow. Cool. Is that why sometimes Ruhar or Kristang aircraft have a fuzzy outline? They're hard to see? Yes, exactly. Although using stealth in an atmosphere is almost not worth doing. Any decent set of sensors can track how an aircraft disturbs the air around it, and the engines emit a heat signature that a blind man could see from 100 miles. There is an important drawback to a stealth field. Can you guess what it is? Skippy played the annoying theme music from Jeopardy while I thought furiously, trying to impress him with my monkey smarts. Light bent around the ship. Radar waves bent around the ship. Light. Hey. If all the light bends around the ship, how can the ship see anything? It would be blind, right? Bing, 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 we have a winner. That was pretty good, Joe. Yep. All light bends around the stealth ship. A ship inside a stealth field might actually fly into or too close to a star because the light from the star wouldn't contact the ship's sensors. Don't worry. A stealth field has intentional gaps that allow in enough light for detection. I looked at the display. Huh. That's how we can still use the sensors when we're stealthed. Cool. But other ships use stealth, right? And you're able to detect them. Is that more amazing Skippy magic? Skippy snorted. Amazing magic to monkeys, sure. The answer is no. I make our sensors significantly more effective. However, the technology for active scanning is used by all starfaring species, even dum-dum lizards. Ships use an active sensor field projected from the ship to detect objects around them. Wait just a minute. That doesn't make sense. Why would a ship in stealth that is trying to hide project something that gives away their position? And missiles could home in on the source of that field and blow up the ship. Figuring that out made me feel pretty darn smart. My Uncle Bob has a friend in the Navy on a nuclear submarine, and one time at a cookout in my uncle's backyard, I listened in while the guy talked about what it's like to be in a steel tube under the waves. One thing he said is that real subs almost never use their active sonar, sending out a sonar pulse ping and listening for it bounce back. The whole point of a submarine is that it's quiet and it's underwater and nobody knows where it is. Sending out a sonar pulse is like shouting, "Hey, look at me, I'm a dumbass, here I am." Using active sonar invites a torpedo to follow the sonar waves back to the source and sink the sub. "The sensor field isn't spherical, you dope," Skippy explained. "It has an irregular shape, and it constantly changes shape, and the field intensity varies throughout it. The field isn't strongest closer to the ship. To find the source of the field, a missile would need to first map the shape of the field and calculate where it must be projected from. That would take way too long, and the field shape is constantly changing. There is no practical way to map it. When an object enters a ship's sensor field range, even if that object is stealthed, it will change the field shape. That data feeds back to the source ship. Because the source ship knows what the shape and local density of the sensor field is supposed to be at any time, it can tell what object distorted the field.
where the object is, how fast it is moving, and in what direction, an outline of the object, all that. It gets complicated during combat, of course, because ships try to distort other ships' sensor fields in ways that mask who and where they truly are. Ships can even project sensor ghosts, distort or jam a sensor field, and create a false reading. The big limitation to sensor fields at this level of technology is that they propagate at the speed of light, so they are painfully slow by the standards of space combat. By the time an object is detected and that data gets back to the source ship, the object will have moved in an unpredictable fashion. That makes long-range targeting difficult, even with speed-of-light weapons. You fire a maser or particle beam, and by the time the beam gets there, the target has moved.
Oh, wow. A ship can dodge a maser beam. Cool.
Oh, indeed. Are we done with kindergarten for the day? If you're good and take a nap now, I'll get you a juice box.
Arve, I've got a headache. I need to lay down with a cold compress on my forehead.
No juice box needed. Could you do one more thing for me? Explain all that to our science team?
Science team?
You are referring to the group of marginally smarter monkeys. Ugh, then my head would explode. Tell you what, I just forwarded a video recording of our conversation to their Z-phones. They can watch it and save me from having to explain it all over again.
Great. Thank you, Skippy.
Don't mention it. Seriously, please, do not ever mention this again. Having gotten Skippy to smack some knowledge down on me, I was feeling pretty good about myself. This lasted less than 3 minutes. Skippy, true to his word, had forwarded a video of our conversation to the science team and to everyone else on the ship. That was great. What was not so great, that shithead little beer can had replaced my image in the video with a chimpanzee. Instead of me sitting in the command chair, it was a chimp with my voice coming out of its mouth. And not just sitting in the chair, this chimp is swinging around the bridge, eating bananas, scratching itself, playing with its private parts, hooting and bouncing around the bridge and other embarrassing things. My first notice that something had gone horribly wrong was when people in the CIC began laughing uncontrollably while looking at their Z-phones.
Oy vey, now I had a headache.